Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
FSN, it's about what's next. These are tough times, and they're getting even tougher. The clock is ticking. The countdown to collapse is well underway. What are you going to do about it? Will you just wait for it to happen, or will you be ready when it happens? The decision is yours and yours alone. Join myself, Mickey Fulp, Robert Ian, David Morgan, Jeff Berwick, Elijah Johnson, Alan Butler, Gregory Manorino, Daniel Amaduri, Andy Hoffman, Tekoa Da Silva, Trace Mayer, one of the world's leading Bitcoin authorities, Bix Weir, Jay Taylor, and Gary Christensen at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium in Las Vegas on February 21st and 22nd and learn how to create your plan to survive the collapse. The last Liberty Mastermind Symposium was one of the most highly rated conferences ever, and this one promises to be even better. Don't miss it. Join us and register now at libertymastermind.us. libertymastermind.us. This one is going to be out of this world, and it's going to be even better because it's in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go to libertymastermind.us and sign up today. It's that special time of the month. January is over, and probably a lot of stock market investors are happy about that. And we've got Mickey Fulp on to do the major market monthly review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Got back to Vancouver a couple of nights ago after a disappointing Super Bowl for me.
And you were there up close and personal in that nice open stadium, but you lucked out. You got good weather, literally one good day in between snowstorms in my birth state of New Jersey.
Well, that's true. It was a beautiful day in New Jersey. The highs were in the low 50s. I think about as cold as it got during game time was in somewhere in the mid 40s. But lo and behold, as we went out to the bus after the game, there were flurries, and we woke up to 6 inches of snow in East Rutherford the following morning. I was lucky to get out. Some people were probably still stranded in the New York, in the tri-state area.
Hey, you got the last plane out of New Jersey. Imagine that. Last plane out of Newark. And I spent a lot of time in the Garden State, and you know, it's in New York, so you're in New York, you never really get out of New Jersey. The markets, an exciting month. January, the first down month since August.
Yes, that's true. We had a couple of down months. It's really the last year, it's really the only down month of much consequence other than summer doldrums. All the major U.S. markets backed off their highs finally, but the reasons were somewhat curious. The emerging markets have been taking a beating. That index was down 7% for the month, basically due to currency sell-offs in the emerging markets. And so the major ones that there have been currency crises so far is Brazil, India, Indonesia, Turkey, South Africa. I have a new acronym for them. They are called the BITS, B-I-I-T-S. And I've talked a lot before about the BIX, and that includes China. So we traded China for Turkey. This is very reminiscent to me of the beginnings of the Asian flu, although it remains to be seen if it will go that deep into the world economy. But maybe even more similar to post-Olympic China. And I think if memory serves, in July of 2008, maybe in early August, I predicted a post-Olympic Asian contagion generated by China coming down off the build-out of the Olympics. And curiously enough, that was right before the global economic crisis. I don't think that's going to happen. So all the major U.S. markets were down. TSX was flat. The Venture Index was up for 12 consecutive days at the beginning of the year. It has since backed off. It's since gone flat. I think we're probably happy with it flat, not continuing to go down.
So the bits are in the pits. And, you know, interestingly enough, I'm looking at the chart for the Dow, and I'm going all the way back to January of 2012. And, Mickey, we haven't had a pullback of 10% during that time. That is highly unusual. I would even say irregular. And I'll go back to a guest that I had on my show 2 days ago, Andrew Huszar, who worked for the Fed. He was in charge of QE1, buying up $1.25 trillion worth of bonds. And obviously, that's a direct result of it, right?
Well, it certainly is. And, you know, the Fed has created this stock market bubble, but we have all said, and I've been saying this for, since early Q2 of last year, that it looked overdue for a correction. We need a good correction in the major markets, and let's hope they come, because it's not healthy for markets to go up as much as they have over the last couple of years. We need a correction. So maybe this is the beginning of it. And I think that would be welcome for healthier markets. Meanwhile, the precious metals were up over the month and the hybrid metals were down. So we've seen a back off of economic indicators. Gold was up 4%, platinum up 2%. Meanwhile, the more industrial of the so-called precious metals, silver and palladium, were down 1% and 2% respectively. Probably the thing we should glean from this is the gold silver ratio has hit a high I'm not sure how long. I have not gone back all the way to see, but it's at 65, and certainly that must be somewhere in the range of a 3-year high. So at some point that ratio is going to get high enough that buying silver is going to be compelling. It's not quite there yet. Meanwhile, Dr. Copper has taken a couple of weeks off because of the Chinese New Year, down 4% over the month. Part of that has to do with the Chinese PMI went below 50 for January. 50 is kind of the benchmark for a better looking economy or for a less attractive economy. Those things fluctuate month to month. Meanwhile, contrary to that, warehouse stocks continue to drop. I think we can look to the Shanghai market, which reopens on Friday, and get some idea of the short-term look for copper. Generally, analysts think that it could go lower.
Yeah, good possibility there. And then, of course, we go on to our energies. Interesting story there, but I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, well, WTI was flat. I think the interesting story here would be that Henry Hub was up 15%. I think that can be directly attributed to the horrible weather in the northeastern seaboard. You know, we have had a very cold winter. We have had one storm after another that continues. The snow was piled high on the sidewalks and the curbs around New Jersey and New York when I was there, although it was warm. Anyway, to make a long story short, let's look at the WTI to Henry Hub ratio. Less than 20, we are on a 6-month downtrend. As natural gas goes up, for the most part, WTI has held its own. So, I'm being unable to see the forest for the trees for a long time with Henry Hub. We obviously have an uptrend. I think that is more than strictly weather related. We'll see when we get into the down season here in the summer. Meanwhile, uranium mucking around the $36 level. The market is waiting for the psychology of Japanese restarts. We may expect to see some movement in that in early Q3, perhaps not this year. But what that has done, that's given me a buying opportunity, and I'm accumulating good old U.S. of A. uranium producers at this point.
Yeah, makes sense. Definitely makes sense. I mean, it's down so low, and it looks like it's hit a bottom there. Judging from the past 6 months, it's just not going any lower. I think we put in a bottom there for sure. And then we go to our currencies, which another interesting story there.
Yep, stronger dollar when the rest of the world's currencies, especially the emerging market ones, start taking a hit. As you say, the hot money, I might say the itchy money, money that likes to move around, pours into the world's reserve currency. Euro was down a bit, but still pretty strong. Canadian dollar is about 91 cents right now, and that's a low for quite a period of time. Once again, the good old U.S. dollar, the Franklins, are still the world's reserve currency.
Yeah, the Canadian dollar is down, and the Aussie dollar is really taking a hit. And, yep. Hey, and look at the 10-year. The rate's gone back down to 2.67. It's holding pretty steady. It might even go a bit lower. I just have a feeling that any more instability in those emerging markets and the money's just going to come flooding back to the good U.S. of A.
Yeah, and so it once again emphasizes the risk in going short a market. Last month we were talking once again about the idea of shorting U.S. Treasuries when it gained interest rates gained 10.5% over the month. This month they more than gave back last month's gains. So our friend Lindsey Hall's play is, as always, shorting is risky. I think one thing that's happened is this idea of quantitative tapering has already been baked in to what I would call a disinterested market. So we'll see what happens there. But the bottom line on this, Gary, is as these emerging market currencies continue to fall, is who really wants to own reales, rupees, rupiahs, or rand? I mean, geez, you know, these are emerging countries. They have volatile currencies. They are always at the risk of default. And, I don't have any money in any of those currencies. Do you?
Hey, you know, a couple of years ago, the Turkish dollar was a hot currency, and people were buying their bonds. And to me, I says, you know, that country just doesn't look good to me. I can't see why anybody would be buying Turkish government bonds. It's insane. And, here we are 2-3 years later. They had the illusion of stability, but you had to be insane to go in there and buy Turkish government bonds. And now their overnight rate is 12%. Their repo rate, weekly repo rate, is 10%. And they're going to have to put currency controls in. And all of those countries are going to be doing it. So, you know, the bits have hit the pits. And there's just nothing that's going to save them. We if it really starts getting bad, it'll hit Thailand, Vietnam, and the other miracle economies of Asia. And it really could be another Asian contagion.
Well, it certainly could. And, you know, I don't know how long it goes. It seems about a year and a half. And we were talking about Cyprus and their currency and the run on the banks. So it just emphasizes the fact that if you are in cash, you need to be in stable currencies, or the world's stablest currencies, whether they are printing like crazy or not, unless we have a complete global economic collapse. I prefer to keep my money in U.S. dollars and gold.
Yeah, and for the time being, when you have billions of dollars that you need to keep in something overnight or for the week or the month, you really don't have a choice. You're going to be stuck with dollars whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
So on that note, Mickey, hey, we'll see you in a few weeks at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium. Sign up at libertymastermind.us, and you be well, Mickey.
Gary, it's less than a few weeks now. It's a little more than 2 weeks. So.
Oh, God, that's hard to believe.
Yes.
I can't believe that. Yeah, 2 weeks.
So we'll I guess I better start working on my PowerPoint.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Thanks a lot.
You be well.
You too.
The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.